Hey guys, you're listening to an episode that is a part of a series of episodes that is all about surviving in corporate America. The intention is that each episode builds into the next. So if this isn't part one and you haven't started at the beginning with part one, then I highly encourage you to go back and start from part one. Now, let's start the show. Welcome to the Trill MBA Show. I'm your host, Felicia Ann Rose Anuha, aka the Trillest MBA you will ever know. And I'm here to help you survive and thrive in corporate America by giving you the truth and being as real as only I can be. Happy Sunday. Welcome back to the show. We are in the midst of a series that is all about helping you survive corporate America. And y'all, it's a lot of landmines out there. So I tried to pick the most common ones to talk about. If you haven't listened to the first two parts, go back and start over there. Like if this is your first time here at the Trill MBA Show, welcome. God bless you. I hope you were warned. This is a ride with your crazy ass host, me. Listen, I just try to keep it trill, y'all. So if this is your first episode that you're checking into, stop now, go back two episodes and start there for this survival guide. Okay. But if you're into this series and you are like, yes, Felicia, I have a bad boss. Oh, I hate this bitch. She gets on my fucking nerves. Or, this dude needs to eat his own dick. If that's how you feel about your boss, this episode is for you. So listen, guys, we all know bosses can make or break your role, your career, your trajectory at a company. I mean, they wield so much power and yet have so little training on how to actually manage people. And so today, this is your survival guide to a bad boss. Part A. Yep, there's going to be a second part to this because this shit is going to be too long if I try to talk about it all in one time. So first, let's talk about the definitions. We got to name names. What exactly is a bad boss? So I've determined that there's really intrinsically two types of bad bosses, but the bad behavior overlaps. So bad boss number one, and mind you, I haven't come up with names for these motherfuckers yet. So just bad boss one and bad boss two, right? So number one, this boss is the type of boss that doesn't care about you or your career. They are highly self-interested. All they care about is themselves and what makes them look good and their career and what they need to do. They probably low-key don't even want to be a people manager, but because in order to rise, they got to manage people, well, now here your black ass is, right? This person definitely will show favoritism. They sure will. And they'll even act like they are a good boss because they are very, 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 very hands-off. The funny thing is, though, they will take up interest in somebody that, oh, I see myself in you. You remind me of you when I was younger and coming up. So, again, it's a self-interested thing. Like, oh, you're me. So this boss will sit there. Of course, they can't see themselves in you, your black ass. but they will sit there and watch you fail or watch you succeed. They don't care. They're very indifferent. That's bad boss number one. I guess the indifferent boss. Now, this other boss is a sabotaging micromanager. We hate this bitch. We hate this bitch with a passion. This is the bitch that scrutinizes every little thing because, of course, she could never have gotten it right. This is the bitch that's fueled by her unconscious bias to her flat-out racism. This is the bitch that never wanted to hire your black ass. But yet, here we are. I hate this bitch. I've had this bitch several times in my career. And if I knew then what I know now, I probably would have a lot more money in the bank. Oh, but I didn't know. So some signs that you're dealing with this person outside of they are actively trying to kill your career at this organization and they're trying to push you out is that they document everything. Their documentation game is strong and they let it be known. Like you see these emails, it'll have date and time and things you did wrong. They micromanage you to death. Every little thing, every period, every dot, everything. It has to be perfect. Or if it's not, then, you know, your incompetence is just, you're just incompetent in your job. Any little thing you do wrong. This high level of scrutiny is not doled out fairly to your other coworkers that this person manages. They won't coach or train or develop you. If you have to ask them a question about anything, then that somehow makes you not fit for this role, or maybe this isn't the work for you. I've been told myself that maybe this isn't the company for you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the funny thing was that person was more on the side of the spectrum of number one, indifference. But see, these things overlap, right? Sometimes your boss will start out more on one, and when they're ready to get rid of you, they'll slide on over to this side of the spectrum of bad boss. All of this is very traumatizing for us. Like, I was on LinkedIn last night, Lord help me, looking at, you know, since LinkedIn has turned into another space for Black Lives Matter and the white people don't like it. And they like to comment on things they know nothing about. And I had time because I had woke up from a whole Saturday's nap and I had time. And I responded to some of these white folks. And I was like, look here, don't come here to this page explaining the trauma that we have and people saying this has happened to me and you're going to sit here and deny it. See, that's what bad bosses do. You try to say, hey, I'm being harmed here. Bad boss, oh, that's just, you're just being paranoid. Oh, child. So those are the two types of bosses that we are going to focus on and their behavior and how to combat that and get you to a space that has fertile ground. Because Lord knows this is toxic ground with these bosses. And so we have got to survive, get our coins, and make it to the next day. So now, how you survive these motherfuckers? Well, first, we have to continue to work through the foundational elements from episode one. So even if you have a bad boss, those are still the things you have to focus on, right? So if you don't remember, go back. I'm not going to go back through it. Go back to episode one. It's all right there. The foundations of what you need. You'll make it through this season, sis. I promise. So there are three things extra that you will need if you have a bad boss. The first thing, You need a therapist or a career coach or both. Okay. If you haven't gotten a therapist and you are going through this shit, now is the time. See, the problem with bad bosses is that they fundamentally work to destroy your self-confidence in your work. And they also set you up for failure, and they make it look like you really did lose your mind, where we have read countless and countless times of people telling their stories of sabotage, that these bosses are actively going in and changing your work or not submitting your work or in any other way sabotaging your work and making it look like you made a mistake or you did something wrong when they actually like sabotaged your work. I know a lot of people are like, what? Like, yes, this is a thing. It happens. If it hasn't happened to you, God bless you. But it has happened to me. And I literally thought I was crazy. I thought I didn't understand what was happening. Get you a therapist, sis, so that you can process all these microaggressions that are happening against you. And that this person can remind you that you're not crazy, that you are competent, and that you are a badass, okay? So don't just sit there and suffer in silence during this time. That is not healthy. You must at all costs protect your psychological safety and your mental health. You must at all costs protect your psychological safety and your mental health. Okay, the second thing that you need is recap emails. I'm telling you, your recap game has to be strong right now. I mean, strong, okay? It has to be the strongest recap game you have ever had in your life. I mean, you just recapping hall conversations. You recapping things with cross-functional. Like, you recapping every goddamn thing, sis. That's what you got to do right now, because your recap game will help combat the sabotage. And you want to write them in a way to put everybody on alert that you too are documenting, because that's a great defense. And if your boss asks you like, oh, I'm just trying to recap everything, make sure we get everything right. You know, you said can't have any mistakes. Y'all like that code switch voice? Yeah, that's how I be talking at work. So after every meeting with your boss, especially the ones where he verbally critiques your work, recap everything immediately. Even if you have to take a bio break between meetings to go jot down verbatims and capture things. Like, be late to the next meeting. And if they say something about that, say, I had to go to the bathroom. Like, come on now. Come on. And then if they say something about it, make sure you capture that and make sure you say, hey, I just wanted to address your concern about me having to go to the bathroom, which caused me to be late to XYZ meeting. And so I just want to let you know that, hey, I don't know what the mitigation of that is. I'm happy to talk about it, but there are going to be times where I have to go to the bathroom. First of all, that's going to look great in a lawsuit. Okay. And second, what they going to say to that? Right. I know, y'all. I know. Sorry. I should have put a trigger warning. Hell, I feel triggered right now. All right. And the third thing you need in your arsenal is a new phone case. I know. Okay. Hear me out. Okay. Here's why you need a phone case. You need to record everything. Everything. You need to start recording everything you can with this boss. So now there are some rules to recording. Rule number one, don't get caught. Do not get caught recording. Okay? Because most of the time it's probably illegal in most states. It has to be a two-party consent. There's a lot of states that are one-party consent, which means legally you can record, a conversation you're a part of. So the thing you can never do is like, it, let's say, you know, there's going to be like some kind of calibration meeting in a conference room. You can't go in that conference room prior to the meeting and put your phone in there set to record and then leave. And then after the meeting, come back and get it. Like, that's illegal. You weren't in that meeting. You cannot record. Okay. But if you are in a state with one party consent, as long as you are a part of the conversation, you have given consent, you can record that meeting. Now, the other caveat is if you break the company's policy, so if the company has a specific policy against recording, then again, this is why you have to keep this to yourself. You cannot get caught. And rule number two, you cannot tell anybody, not your therapist, not your best friend, not anybody. Don't even tell me. Don't schedule time with me and say, hey, girl, I listened to your podcast and so I need some help and I recorded my boss. No, don't tell anybody until it's a lawyer up time and then you hand all that shit over to your attorney. And in fact, I would never utter the words I recorded. Never, ever, ever. In fact, if you ask me in person, Felicia, have you ever recorded? I'd be like, no, never. What are you talking about? Is that even legal? Oh my God. No. Listen, I'm not going to sit up here and lie to y'all because I am the trillest MBA. So if I'm telling you to do this shit, put that shit together. Okay? Now, there are a couple of things that you need to understand when you record. Now, mind you, I understand these are tips for when you go back in the office. I'll give you the Rona considerations in a minute. But when we're back in the office, you need this phone case that folds over the top of your phone and covers your screen. Okay? So make sure your ringer is turned off. Notifications are turned off. Anything that can disrupt the phone from recording, if you get text messages or buzz or whatever, make sure all that shit is turned off. Okay? So you got to understand and know your phone very well. So go practice with it. You know, have people call you while you're trying to record, see what happens. Have people text you while you're trying to record. Now, tell them, hey, I'm trying to check out some features on my phone. Can you call me? Can you text me? Like, you ain't got to tell them that you're recording. Okay? Remember, rule number two, don't tell nobody until you get to your attorney. Okay. Now, before you walk in the room, no matter the size of the room, you want to start recording and then fold your phone case over your screen. And then you put the phone on the table. Now you have to think about where you sit. Now I know you're going to be like, well, I definitely don't want to sit next to that motherfucker. But guess what? Since that's the person you need to get the most audio on, because that's the person that says the stupid shit, then you kind of want to sit near that person. They're going to be uncomfortable. You're going to be uncomfortable. Take some joy in making them uncomfortable. Sit as close to your boss as you can. And put the phone in the middle of the table if it's a conference room or in the middle of the desk. Just sit your phone down with yourself and do it casually. Like, it's just, I walk around with my phone. And that's the thing. People, because most people would never be doing this, they don't ever think that you're doing it, which is awesome. Because that's how you get them off guard. They can act a fool with you and treat you like shit. Oh, but I got something for y'all bitch asses. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. And this is it. So now, for drive-bys and hallway conversations, what you want to do is you want to always say, hey, I think this deserves a long conversation. Can I come back and we have this conversation in a few minutes? That'll give you some time to get ready. Or, hey, I got to run to the restroom. Let me meet you in your office and I'll come back. I'll circle back with you. So that gives you time to grab your phone, grab your stuff. So, you know, always have a pen, your phone, your notebook, right? So that way, again, it just looks like normal. It all looks normal. And they don't need to know that underneath the cover of your phone is recording the fuck out of them. Okay? Now, because it's the Rona, we're not in the office. So, Felicia, how do I record if we're not in the office? Okay. Well, the great thing is you can turn your volume up on your computer and have your phone right there and record everything. You can still record all the meetings, all the stuff. Try not to meet with them on the phone, actually. Like, try not to have actual phone conversations that you can't record, okay? Try to always meet with them on all the Teams, Zoom, WebEx, BlueJeans, Skype. Try to have everything there. The great thing about this time is that we're using written modes of communication a whole lot more. And so everything's being documented, whether we like it or not, which is awesome. So use that to your advantage. Make sure you forward emails to your personal address. Make sure you screenshot and keep a folder off of your computer on a thumb drive somewhere else. You got to understand, when you have a bad boss, you are literally in warfare. This motherfucker is coming for you and your coins. You need to strap up. And strap up in corporate means document, 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 document. Every piece of documentation is a bullet. So you need to get your arsenal together. Okay? And recording is just another form of documentation. It's just, you know, kind of sketchy. I know it's a shame we have to resort to these measures, but listen, we are Black in corporate America, and these motherfuckers just said Black Lives Matter yesterday. So, listen, you gotta do what you gotta do. Now, if your boss isn't that bright, you can actually hit record on these video conferencing apps, and they probably wouldn't even really notice. So, hit that record button. The thing is, you want to try as much as you can set up the meetings so that you're the person in control of the app for the meeting, because it's your meeting and it's on your conference line. So you definitely want to do that. Now, let's say you hit record or it starts recording and they say something. You just say, oh my goodness, I think it's the settings. It's my settings. Let me see. I'll turn it off. And just turn it off, but always be ready with your phone on the side. Okay? Now, let's focus on the different tactics you need for each type of boss and their behavior. And remember, most bosses are on the spectrum. So in boss two, you'll see some of the behaviors of boss one and vice versa. But for now, we're going to focus on boss one, the indifferent boss, the one that doesn't give a fuck about you. The first question you need to ask yourself is, do you want to stay at this company? Now, if the answer is no, then you need to do the bare minimum. So whatever your objectives are, just do that. Focus on gaining resume bullets, making sure you're doing projects or things that you can speak to in interviews externally. And don't put any more energy or time into this company, because basically the company is probably trash if they allow a manager like this to exist and not pay attention. So use your energy on you, sis. Okay. If you don't want to stay at the company, just focus on getting out. Keep documenting things. If you have a strong EEOC case, the problem with this type of boss is usually because it's not like active sabotage, it's harder to prove the behavior. I wouldn't even waste time with HR. These types of bosses tend to be well-liked because they play this game. The first thing they're going to say is, well, I just wanted to give you the space to be great and prove and show yourself and blah, blah. I didn't want to micromanage you. But what they don't say is, oh, I also didn't want to help your bitch ass. That's what they don't say, right? So again, don't waste your time. Now, let's say you see a great opportunity with the company. It is a good company. Your boss is this anomaly in the company, and you just need to get the fuck from this motherfucker, right? Like, you just need to get away from this fool because this ain't working. Okay. So your goal then is either a new role or the same type of role, but a different boss, right? You're just trying to get away from this fool. Now, the problem is you can't pick your boss, right? Like, that's just unfortunately not acceptable in corporate America. I don't know why, because I feel like white men get to do that all the time. They get to be like, oh, I want to work with Tom. He's so great. And they, you know, there's nothing seen that. But if you say, oh, I want to work with such as, well, what's wrong with Bob? What's wrong with your boss now? Bob's great. And then you're like, ah, oh, fuck. Yeah. So you have to lean into the following. You got to continue to build your talk track. And so I talk about this in episode one, but I might have left out a couple of things. Here's the most important thing you need to do. You need to figure out what role you want next, and maybe even the person that you might want to work for next. And you need to look at who's on their team or what role they might have coming open, maybe, hopefully soon. And then you want to start planting seeds in your talk track around your capabilities and how it would match working on that team or for that person, right? And again, staying very positive and light and love and all that good shit. And then you continue to build your network. So if you have identified who you think you would want to work for in this company next, start meeting with them, start having lunch with them, start finding reasons to pick their brain. And right now in the Rona, what that means, schedule time on their calendar and like have a Zoom call with them. One thing that always works really well, if you send somebody an email, say, hey, I need some advice and counsel. People are like, oh, you care about my opinion? Yes, yes, I will talk to you. You gotta understand, this is all about human psychology. So you have to start trying to get into the minds of the human beings you work with and understand human behavior has certain patterns. And so if you pay attention to the patterns of how humans behave, you can start to think through your chess moves and the people you need to talk to and what you need to say to them, right? And you start working on getting your language right, which is 99% of my coaching calls are about, here are the things that you need to say to get what you want. It's all about finessing the language, right? You want to make sure that your intention and your impact matches. Now, the other thing you need to do with this indifferent manager is that you need to tell them this. Hey, Bob, it's been great working with you. But as I think about my career trajectory here at XYZ Corporation, I'm looking for my next opportunity. I'm starting to meet with people and lay that groundwork. And so what I want to make sure from you is that you are ready to help me advocate and that you're comfortable with advocating on my behalf for this next role. And I need to understand from you, how can I help you advocate, Bob? How do I help you advocate for me? And listen, this role don't even have to be a promotion. It could literally be a lateral. You could say, I'm looking for XYZ additional experience, and I feel that these other roles will give me that. Now, if his response has anything to do with performance concerns, well, listen, that's a whole nother episode, and we have to talk through it. So, until that episode comes out, which means I have to, you know, produce it and write it and all of that good shit and research it. Until we get there, you can always hit me up, ask@trillmba.com. You can go to trillmba.com/coaching and schedule a coaching call. They're $40. They go to offset the cost of producing the podcast. And for 45 minutes or so. I know I said 30 minutes, but I'm going to tell y'all right now, I have yet to have a coaching call that truly ended in 30 minutes. I mean, these things are complex and I want to give it the time that it needs to get you everything you need. But if this is you and you are going through this, just hit me up and we can talk through your specific situation. And just know you're not by yourself. This happens a lot. Why? because this boss is on the spectrum between bad boss one, indifferent, and bad boss two, micromanaging son of a bitch, right? So like, if they bring up performance concerns, that's just leaning over there towards bad boss number two. The other thing, though, you need to understand, right? If he doesn't bring up performance concerns and he's like, yeah, sure, okay, yes, totally, you know, you already know what it is, but just, you know, play the game. Say thank you, appreciate you so much, you're awesome. The thing you need to understand, though, and really get entrenched in, is the internal hiring process. And you need to put your name in the hat for new roles that you're truly interested in and truly would, you know, help you grow and develop your career, okay? Now, pro tip, never talk bad about your boss. In fact, only talk shop with your friends outside of work. Like, not your friends that you work with, your friends outside of work, okay? So, like, your therapist, you know, which isn't necessarily your friend, but they're the person to help you process. And you can call your boss all kinds of motherfucking sons, bitches, like people outside of work. Nobody at work should know that you can't stand this motherfucker. Okay? Nobody. Everybody at work should think that you love everybody and you're happy to work with everybody and life is great. Okay? So remember, keep up the happy, positive vibes, because that's what's going to take you far. And that helps you build your talk track, that you're a person that people want to work with. I just love her energy. That's the kind of stuff you want to hear about you, okay? Now, for this second bad boss, y'all, I'm going to have to go have some drinks. You know, just what Beyonce say? Charge my crystals in the moon. And I mean, just clean my chakras and like, I don't know, whatever else Eastern medicine says to do. I'm gonna have to go meditate and pray and fast and drink. I just, this is where the PTSD is. So listen, for this one, we're gonna have to come back next week, because it's a long conversation and I also want to give it the proper time. So come back next week. We're going to talk about bad boss number two. And we're going to talk about how we get to fight back. But then also, this is where you got to start lawyering up. So we're going to talk about that too. All right. So until next week, hang in there, you guys. You got this. You can't lose no matter what. Even if you get pushed out, even if these motherfuckers do you wrong, you're not going to lose. Okay, this is just one little dot on your whole journey. It's not the end all be all. You will get another job. It will pay you more. Okay, so don't fret. You're going to be fine. You just have to make it through this and learn from it. And that's it. So next week, we talk about the worst bosses of them all. And I will talk to y'all soon. Have a great week. I love y'all. And don't forget, y'all, keep it trill. The Trill MBA Show is a Fair World Corp. LLC production. Executive produced by Felicia and Rose Inuha. Sound design and editing by Chris Mann with Podshaper. Theme music is Kick Push by Ryan Little. Keep it trill every day, y'all.